This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along. Good to have you with us here on the William Hill Golf Podcast. It's Dave Kellner joined by a special guest, Dave Tindall, to look ahead to this week's golf tournaments. We've got the couple of invitational events, the Ned Bank Golf Challenge and the Hero World Challenge. But before we get stuck into these two events, it's a warm welcome to Mr. Dave Tindall. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hello, Dave. Very pleased to be here.
Yeah, good to have you with us on the podcast for the first time. Obviously, I remember the days I was first getting stuck into golf betting, and you were writing your tips. Was it first of all for the Sporting Life?
That's right, yeah, from 1997, back in the day when it first went online, yeah.
Someone else was putting my bets on for me back then.
You were too young, obviously.
Yeah, I shouldn't say that on this particular podcast. I'm only joking, listeners. Didn't strike my first bet until I was at least 18 years old, I'm sure.
Absolutely, yeah.
We've got a couple of good events this week, and just before we get stuck into them, the last time myself and Mike were on the podcast was prior to the DP World Tour Championship. And not for the first time in that event, the cream really rising to the top, and Henrik Stenson yet again taking the title. Obviously not enough to reel in Rory McIlroy as far as the series was concerned, but good performance from Stenson after maybe a slightly subdued, disappointing year for him.
Yeah, it was all relative, wasn't it? It was subdued because of what he'd done the year before, basically, and everyone thought, well, all right, he's done that, finished like a train, won both, race to Dubai and the FedEx Cup. You kind of think, well, next step for Henrik was a major, but didn't quite get it done. And then it's inevitable, isn't it, when you have a year like that, there's almost only one place to go, and it wasn't that bad. I mean, he finished second in the race to Dubai, but it's just that he set that amazing standard, and you thought, you know, is he going to become on the level of a Rory McIlroy or something? Yeah. And just keep it going, but yeah, I think he deserved to post a win. It was good to get to obviously win that big event, that prestige event, for him to defend that title. And again, we'll be looking to Stenson to maybe kick on and win a major this year, I guess.
Had that big chance, didn't he, really, in the USPGA Championship, where he was playing ahead of McIlroy, Mickelson and Fowler. And he will maybe feel like he let that one go.
Yeah, I think so. And he's had other chances, hasn't he, as well. I think we sometimes forget, no Swedish male has ever won a major.
Yeah.
So you'd never quite know what the Swedish media... You know, that's not a monkey that we think about, but maybe it is something he has to carry around a bit, like Parnovic used to, maybe, until maybe one of them wins it. Say it's not something we think about, but I mean, Europeans struggled to win a major as well, didn't they, for a long, long time? And that's now, you know, we've got over that hurdle. But I think, you know, getting that first one is so, so hard, isn't it? And especially if you're carrying kind of a nation's hopes as well.
That was earlier on in last month. Last week, we saw Jordan Spieth close with a sensational 63 in the Australian Open to win. I read a piece about him and talking about how poor he is statistically in a number of different categories. But he finds a way to get the ball in the hole, doesn't he?
Yeah,
Jordan
Spieth. The scoring average category, I think.
That's the important one, isn't it?
That's it. You can sort of mask all the other ones just by getting the ball in the hole. It was billed as Rory versus Adam Scott, wasn't it, really? And it kind of almost had that feeling that someone was going to, you know, spoil the party. And he was fantastic, wasn't he? I don't know if you saw much of it, but he just seemed to be holing putt after putt and everything. His short game was sensational. And I think, in theory, you know, we should have expected him to do well because he'd come third in Japan the week before.
Yep.
So he travels well.
From Houston as well, used to playing on a golf course that's a little bit exposed to the wind.
Absolutely, and that's probably what did for Rory on the weekend. I mean, I think in benign conditions, Rory might have had his way, but when those winds picked up, I think that's when Spieth kind of came into his own a bit, and to shoot, what was it, 63 on the last day? To
incredible,
really
wasn't
separate
it?
Himself from the field was a fantastic effort. And you know, I mean, we'll get onto it soon, but, you know, can he go well again here? And have we all had a kind of globes out and looking at distance travelled? And I mean, I don't know what you think about jet lag. It's something I've never quite got my head around, whether it really is a factor or we overplay it or not.
I think it's probably different for each different type of person, isn't it? Some people will get over it more quickly, and it will affect some people. Lee Westwood's been doing a lot of travelling recently, hasn't he, as well? And he's obviously in action in the Nedbank. Just one final word on Jordan Spieth, just before we move on to this week's two tournaments. Where do you put him now in those guys that are just a little bit younger than Rory McIlroy but are trying to emulate Rory McIlroy? How do you compare him to the likes of Hideki Matsuyama and Patrick Reed, Billy Horschel even?
I think he's a level above those, because we've already seen him contest a Masters and a Players' Championship, and you're almost waiting for that. He had that great first season. You're almost waiting for that second season syndrome where he might have dipped a bit. I just don't see him dipping now. I think he's just going to keep going. And, you know, the fact that he can challenge in these big events. With people like that, I mean, Patrick Reed has turned himself into a winner, but with Spieth, the thing that's sort of thrown against him is, you know, yeah, they can get into position, but can they get over the line? I think doing what he's done in Australia, that just all chips away. He's already got his PGA Tour win. I think it's just he's going to go on and on and on.
Should be a good year for Jordan Spieth 2015. Let's have a look at this week's two events then, and we'll start off with the Nedbank Golf Challenge. Louis Oosthuizen in the 9-1 favourite here with William Hill. Jamie Donaldson is 10-1. Lee Westwood 10-1. Martin Kaymer is 10-1. Charles Schwartzel is 12s. Brooks Koepka is 14-1. And it's 16's bar, and the players descend on the Gary Player Country Club once again for this year's championship. The course has hosted this event since the inception of the tournament back in 1981, and it's described as South Africa's premier championship test of golf. Dave, it's a par 72 measuring a whopping 7,831 yards, and even though the rough isn't particularly penal, it is difficult to control the ball out of that Kikuyu. It's a long golf course, slightly negated by the fact that it's played at altitude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, when you see distances like that, you think, oh my goodness, people like Tim Clark, forget it. But, they can surprise you though, can't they? I think it's dangerous to rule anyone out on pure length. As you say, there's that altitude factor. And they, you know, often they're hard running courses as well, so the ball will bounce. It's not just kind of lumping it and letting it land. It's, you know, you will get some run out on these things. So, yeah, I wouldn't go overboard on distance really this week. I think that's something, a slight red herring.
The tournament was traditionally a 12-player invitational event, but last year it was expanded to 30 players. Still a relatively elite field this week. And you look at the winners here. Lee Westwood's won twice. Jim Furyk's won on a couple of occasions. Thomas Bjorn won last week. So I don't think distance is the be-all and end-all, but I think you've got to be a good driver of the golf ball to succeed around here. And those names that I've just mentioned, Furyk, Westwood and Bjorn, you'd say they are strong drivers.
Yeah, I agree with that. Kaymer's another recent winner as well, isn't he? So, yeah, I think you can't be spraying it all over the place, because, yeah, it's hard to come out of that rough, you know, say you're medium length and a bit crooked as well, you're really up against it. But yeah, it's a top quality field we've got, and it's just one of those difficult ones. There's no sort of outstanding candidate. There's lots of people around that, you know, 9-1 to 16-1. What we've got, 8 players around that.
Yeah,
normally you might get 3 or 4, and it's just kind of find someone who's separating them. And we're kind of looking at prices that just make you go, like Shane Lowry in great form at 16s. It's hard to get too excited about anybody at the top end, I think, anyway.
It is, and we always have that. Whenever we come to this golf tournament, we have that statistic wheeled out that no debutant has won here now for 27 years, and Shane Lowry does fall into that bracket as well at 16-1. He's making his course debut this time round. The market's got Louis Oosthuizen at the head of the betting at 9-1. Many people expecting Louis Oosthuizen to have a big 2015. A player who, even though he's a major champion, won at St Andrews, of course, he has trouble realising his potential because of the amount of injuries he's suffered.
Yeah, when it's almost sort of you're surprised when he's not injured at the moment.
Yes.
You're kind of just waiting for the news to come through that, oh, Louis Oosthuizen's pulled out with a... And, oh, not again. But, yeah, I mean, he's at the head of the betting. As you say, if he was fit, then that's fair enough. He was 6th in Dubai, 6th at the Dunhill a few starts before that, 14th in the HSBC. So he's put together a nice little run of form, and you'd think the fact that he's done that, the health signs are good. I think from memory last year, I think he was quite a bit bigger price because there were doubts over him. He obviously does win a lot on home soil. He tends to clean up, doesn't he? Always gets a win of some sort early in the season. So yeah, 9-1. It's not too bad on Oosthuizen, but his course form isn't that sensational, to be honest, is it? It's, you know, I'm looking at 14th, 4th, 12th last three efforts.
It's a negative, isn't it? I think that given that
the size of the fields, I mean, that's, you know, below halfway in a couple of, in, certainly in the 2010 one, I think it is. So
yeah,
so he doesn't leap off the page, to be honest, even though he's a class act.
I've just got the one pick here, Dave, and it is a man that you've just mentioned, fellow South African Tim Clark. I quite like him at 20-1 this week. He maybe doesn't receive the plaudits of some of his South African peers. Tim Clark, he's the one that's shone in a disappointing 2014 for the South Africans. I quite like his game for this golf course. We've talked about it being lengthy, and obviously distance off the tee wouldn't particularly be to the forefront of his game, but and that might be a slight hindrance, but he's improved with each and every start on the golf course. You look at his figures here, 2003 he was 12th, 2005 6th, 2009 3rd, and when he was last here in 2010 he finished 2nd. And he's also talked in the lead up to the event about the inspiration he feels taking part in any event that's attached to Gary Player, with his name attached to it. He's played in the Gary Player Invitational before, and I don't think that should be underestimated this week either. And in addition to that, he's coming off the back of a decent 2014, a winner in Canada earlier on in last season now, and only just beaten in that playoff in the HSBC Champions on his last start, where Bubba Watson made that incredible eagle on the final hole to get in the playoff. I thought that 20-1 in a 30-man field for a guy with those form figures at this track and that's played well in his most recent start was reasonable for a winner on the PGA Tour in 2014.
I agree, Dave. He's the one I've kind of added extra notes on just to sort of delve further into his case. And I mean, that second to Bubba, I mean, the last two winners of that HSBC are Dustin Johnson and Bubba Watson.
Yeah.
You see, and you look at the yardage and you think that makes sense. Well, how did Tim Clark manage to get second? Well, that kind of proves, doesn't it, that he can excel on these lengthy courses. And, you know, you add in the home soil factor. I mean, that's when we first got to know him, wasn't it, when he won the South African Open all those years ago. And, just he's proven on the course. Second coming in. Yeah, I think you could easily have him alongside the other, you know, more named South Africans. And I agree. I think 20-1 is fair enough.
Yeah, and with that experience, like you mentioned, you've got players that are obviously more talented maybe than Tim Clark in Brooks Koepka, Shane Lowry, Alexander Levy, but they're all making their debuts here, which is a distinct negative in this event. Another player that caught my eye, perhaps if you're looking for one at a bigger price, Thomas Bjorn, defending champion at 25-1. Fourth appearance here, did win it last year. Maybe not in the best form right now, though. Failed to crack the top 20 in his last four starts, which could be seen as a little bit of a negative, I suppose.
Yeah, obviously there's been repeat winners on this course, which, you know, helps Bjorn's case. Not one I particularly kind of focused on, but in that same price bracket, if I want to throw one at you, I looked at Danny Willett. I think he's a debutant as well, which kind of, you know, you're giving me a hard stare over that. But you look at his form in South Africa, last 10 starts, 5 top 10s and 3 of the top 20s. So something about the place that he likes, whether it be the grass or just the, you know, the general sort of enjoying the place. It's similar in, you know, time zone, isn't it? Just looking at his stats recently, he's hit a lot of greens as well, so I think he might be cut out to play really well here. He's another one who sometimes carries injuries, isn't it? And we kind of think, oh, well, we won't go on him because he's got a bad neck or something. But then there, you know, time and time again, he plays through it and seems to do just fine. So is he 25?
He is.
Yeah, there's quite a few, isn't there, at 25-1. I think he could be the pick of them because he just seems to be turning up and playing well in lots of places. So, and this particular liking for South Africa, I'm not entirely sure what it is, but, you know, that's proven. 5 top 10s in his last 10 starts is pretty impressive.
Oh, absolutely. Danny Willett in the betting at 25s. Pretty much done with this tournament then. Tim Clark and Danny Willett, 20s and 25s respectively. Just I never usually go and have a look at the supporting markets, but I'm interested in Tim Clark, top South African as well, if you don't fancy him on the outright, because he's not the most prolific winner on any tour, is he, Tim Clark? But he's pitched against Louis Oosthuizen, Charles Schwartzel, George Kutsaya, Danny van Todner, and Darvi van der Valt and Jaco Ehlers. And I think 4-1 is really fair in that market.
And well, we've sort of discussed Oosthuizen. Schwartzel's just not in any sort of form, is he?
He's played dreadfully, hasn't he, this season in the main?
Yeah, so he's very much someone who can take on. I mean, looking at his last three starts, not even in the top 40. So,
no.
You know, he's a sort of sitting duck there, isn't he, to be challenged by somebody. As for the Kurtz, a class act when he's on, but he's a bit hit and miss, isn't he?
Debutant as well, and he's not been in great form recently.
Not really. And the other three, I know Jaco Ehlers, actually. I'm friends with him.
Oh, you really?
I met him at the Open 1 year, I think when he came last, but he's kind of very...
Is that what happened then? He met you at the Open and then finished last in the tournament?
Well, I met him in the big clubhouse at Turnberry, and he sort of shook my hand and said, I'm the guy who's last in the Open. I thought it was really funny. It was really sort of self-deprecating. Somehow you think the South Africans are a bit more kind of full-on and very assured of themselves, but he was a lovely guy, and he won the other week, actually. That's how he's got in, I think.
Yep.
Top bloke, but all the best will in the world.
He's slightly overmatched in this field, isn't he?
Yeah, it looks like it. So, you know, Kurtzy could be a danger. But I think that's a good shout on Tim Clark. Another good way to play him, you know, if you do have doubts that, you know, he'll be picked off by one or two in the main market.
That's a good field, Dave. But the best field this week is for Tiger's event, the Hero World Challenge. It's an 18-man field, and Henrik Stenson and Justin Rose are at the top of the betting, both at 6-1. Bubba Watson is 7s. Jordan Spieth is 9-1. Ricky Fowler 10s. Graham McDowell is 14s, along with Jason Day and Tiger Woods. 16-1, Hideki Matsuyama and Matt Kuchar, and it's 20-1 and bigger the remainder. Tiger is back, and so is his tournament. Looking forward to this week. The first thing to note before we discuss the betting, Dave, is probably the relocation of the event, because we've gone from west to east, haven't we? From Sherwood Country Club in California to Isleworth Country Club in Florida. And there's not much to go on as far as the course form is concerned. It has hosted the Tavistock Cup, hasn't it, this golf course in the past, but more widely known for being Tiger Woods' base for many years.
That's right. I mean, infamously so, when the old fire hydrant accident. But, obviously he knows this course like the back of his hand. He's very interesting this week, Tiger. I'm actually going to go with him, and I can prepare to have, you know, tomatoes thrown at me and all sorts.
He's my one pick this week.
Yeah, okay. It's just kind of, what were you expecting with Tiger? Were you expecting, I don't know, 8s, 9s or something? I think mentally in my head, I thought if he's 14s or bigger, I'm in on that, because... You look at his Florida record, it's sensational. We're saying, what do we do with course form here, because there's none of it, because it's moved. Well, so you kind of next level back his Florida form, and Tiger's is sensational. He's won 3 of his last 5 starts in Florida, massive events as well. 4 in the last 8, if you go back a little bit further. He just seems to, you know, he must love everything about the place. It's his base, and it's been his base for a number of years. It's just head and shoulders above anyone else, and all those recent wins, they're all in 2013, so it's not kind of historical Florida form that he did, you know, in 2005 or something. He's won big events there in very recent times, and I just think 14-1, you've got to think, I mean, he's going to be so motivated, isn't he? He's dying, he's absolutely busting a gut to get back out there. A lot of them are, you know, might be a bit just sort of weary with travelling and everything else, or at the other end, Steve Stricker, does he play golf anymore?
He's a part-time golfer, isn't he? He's a full-time hunter, a part-time golfer now, Steve Stricker.
So, yeah, I'm very, very prepared to get with Tiger in this event at 14. It might end up spectacularly wrong, but, you know, what's he to win the Masters? Is his price?
He'd be a lot shorter to win the Masters, I'd imagine, right now, and he's much more likely to win this event,
well,
isn't he, in all
so,
honesty? These prices are always... Although 12-1 he is.
Yeah, 12 to the Masters or 14s for this. I mean, it's
a no-brainer, isn't it? really.
You do the maths, I see.
Yeah. it's impossible. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I've got one pick for this event. It's definitely Tiger Woods at 14-1 because out of that field, he's definitely the most overpriced player in it, in my opinion. And it's impossible to be dogmatic about how he'll perform this week. But if you completely disregard his 2014, something that I'm inclined to do, actually, given that even before his long absence at the end of the season after the PGA Championship, he'd withdrawn from the Honda and the Bridgestone. So things have not been right throughout 2014 for Tiger. We've seen at venues where he'd won before. Obviously, it's well known that he's a repeat winner at numerous different venues. And it's almost like a venue that he's won before at this, isn't it, Arlworth, in terms of how much experience he's got of the golf course. We're never going to see that 2000 Tiger Woods again, are we? I don't think. And I wouldn't want to back him for a major championship right now, but it is entirely possible that we'll see the 2013 Tiger Woods again, where he won five times. I think we could easily see
that. People forget about
that, don't they? They
do. I mean, in any other, with any other player, that season will go down as an incredible season. With Tiger, it's just kind of people remember the ones either side for some reason. It's kind of that didn't fit the narratives that he plays well again.
Yeah.
Everyone's been writing him off for 3 or 4 years or whatever, but yeah.
I think now when you're looking at the body of work that Tiger Woods has, people are just thinking major championships all the time, aren't they?
Yeah, so these are just kind of...
These are just any other event, whereas for a regular PGA Tour professional, that year would go down as the most historic year in their careers.
Exactly.
Whereas it's any other year for Tiger Woods. Just a quick word on the golf course then before we get your other picks as well, Dave. We're both going with Tiger Woods at 14-1. It's originally... an Arnold Palmer designed this golf course, enhanced by Steve Smyers back in 2003. It's described as a challenging golf course, and it's one that's tough and pretty long as well. What do you think these players are going to have to do to succeed around this golf course? What do you think the key attributes are this week?
Yeah, I think you're going to have to hit a lot of greens. I think it's going to probably be quite, you know, firm, isn't it, and stuff, and you've got to be able to handle that Bermuda grass as well when it comes to the putting. It just seems like a fairly typical Florida course kind of thing where Tiger's got that great sort of run of form. I think it's just the Copperhead maybe is the one that they say is different because it's more undulating. This is like fairly flat and everything like that.
Yeah.
And there doesn't seem any reason why it's just another Florida course where Tiger should excel. And obviously, I mean, how many times must he have played it? God knows.
Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds.
Yeah, and, you know, done all his practice there. He'll just feel so at home. I mean, yeah, a lot of them do live in Florida now. You know, you're looking at the field, who doesn't live in Florida out of that lot? But it's all built into the price with everyone else, isn't it? You kind of Stenson and Rose, that, yeah, they know it. But, I mean, 6-1, they don't really leap off the page to me.
No, not with... I was with you. I thought... When I first saw the field for this event and I first looked at the prices, I thought Tiger Woods had pulled out. I did, because I expected him to be in the first five in the betting, without a doubt. I thought he'd be 10-1 or less, and at 14-1, I'm more than happy to get involved. What do you make to his move, his switch of coach as well? That's not something we've talked about on the podcast at any point. Move from Sean Foley, who failed to win a major championship for Tiger, now gone to Chris Como, a guy that's similar in his teachings, really focuses on biomechanics, very much a numbers man.
Yeah.
Whereas people were thinking that maybe Tiger needed to go back to someone like Butch Harmon or Hank Haney that were more about feel and maybe not over teaching.
I think this new guy, I think he sounds more like a consultant rather than a kind of full on, you know, in your face 24-hour kind of coach. So I think he's going to sort of monitor, but I think he's going to go down his own route a little bit, and this guy will just kind of be there, another pair of eyes. So I think it's going to be a slightly different relationship, and I think that's a good move, I think, for Tiger, because how many times in commentary do we hear Ewan Murray say Tiger's best shots are when he has to just feel it, create some kind of shot rather than just try and, you know, swing perfectly. And I think that it could be a good move for Tiger, which is another probably little plus point to add to his case this week.
I've seen the one swing that I think everyone's seen played over and over again on social media, the one where he says, do you want me to hit a high cut or a low cut? I want to see you hit a draw, Tiger. So I felt like saying, but obviously it's the shot that he feels most comfortable with. The one thing I took out of that, I mean, maybe we're overanalyzing here. The one thing I took out of that swing, he looks trimmer, Tiger. I mean, he's done so much work throughout the years in the gym. He's overworked in the gym. Yeah. I'm absolutely convinced about that, and it's affected the golf swing. He looked less bulky, I think. Maybe spending more time on the golf course rather than in the gym, which I think would be a positive.
Yeah, I think he's had to just limit his gym time, hasn't he? Because he can't overdo it again. And yeah, I think it's fascinating, isn't it? Trying to piece all these parts of the puzzle together with Tiger. But certainly there's enough there, isn't there, to make you think 14-1. We could all be looking at that and thinking, wow.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope we are looking at that on Sunday evening and thinking, wow. I'll play my point each way at 14-1. Who else do you like in the field then, Dave?
So looking at the front few, Stenson and Rose are about, you know, there's nothing to get excited about there. Bubba, who actually now lives in Tiger's old house, doesn't he, in Isleworth. So I don't think living right next to the course is great for Bubba somehow. I think it'll distract him.
Do you think so?
You know what I mean? With his running around. Yeah. You know, I think he'll just have too much other stuff to think about.
He's a man that doesn't like travelling either, or historically hasn't, but then he won in the HSBC Champions event, so maybe he's getting used to life on the road as well, Bubba.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought it'd be too... I don't think he's won in Florida. Is that? I think that's right.
Yeah.
He's gone close a few times. He's short enough price to be sort of looking for negatives, and that was sort of one I thought he may just have too much on his plate. Spieth's very interesting because of his red-hot form. It's just whether that trip from Australia to Florida he can cope with that. I mean, he's a young lad, isn't he? I'm sure there's one way where it's better to go east to west or west to east. Have you ever found that? One of them's worse. I can't remember which one it was.
Right.
But yeah, it's fair enough. I do.
He's
like
not a prolific winner yet, though, is he, Spieth?
No.
Maybe.
Although I sort of shuffle awkwardly in my chair because I'm about to tip Ricky Fowler, who's can be accused of that very same thing. 10-1 Fowler. He's just there every week, isn't he, now, basically? Top five in all four majors this year.
Yeah.
I think he's had 9 top tens in his last 10 starts. It's just every week. And, you know, Butch Harmon's done a great job with his swing. You know, he's always had the short game and the imagination. Another Florida resident. I just think there's a slight sort of Henrik Stenson about him this week, in that he's gone so close. He's almost like deserved. I know you don't get handed tournaments because you deserve them, but I just think he might just finish with a flurry here, and I was willing to take 10-1.
Yeah, I can see that, and I think he'll be good in this sort of environment as well, won't he? I think he just likes having fun out on the golf course, and this will be, for the majority of these players, a fun week. So 10-1 Ricky Fowler. Any others?
Yeah, just, I mean, a lot of these you've got to be accepting. I mean, Tiger's the classic example. You're getting a big price, you're getting more than you would in other events. Everyone else, it seems, you're getting less, aren't you? The only one I thought was his same kind of price was Keegan Bradley, because you almost see that 25-28 every single week with Keegan Bradley. Like, the book is just kind of have it's kind of saved, like
penciled in.
Yeah, on like F7, they just press it, and there he is. And I don't think he's...
I think that's how Mark had said works out all his prices.
I think his recent form is kind of not any good, but he's got a great record in Florida. I mean, again, I'm back to that idea. If we don't know much course form, Florida form, because a lot of the courses are the same and it translates. And I think he's got 5 finishes between 2nd and 7th in very recent times, Bradley, in Florida. Always likes a tough course. That's kind of what he's known for, isn't he?
He loves
it when it's not just a real birdie fest. And yeah, it was very much a price thing. If you chucked him in at 16s or whatever, but 25s, I kind of think, oh, that's just your normal Keegan Bradley price, and he's probably going to be playing on a course where you'd expect him to do well rather than you just sort of hoping he might. So he'd be my each-way outsider, I think, in this field.
There's a few I want to mention. I'm just having the one bet with Tiger Woods, but the other two names that I liked in that, well, we've been through a lot of the names so far, but the two that I liked in particular were Hideki Matsuyama, who obviously is in good form, having won the Dunlop Phoenix, drives the ball incredibly well. Matsuyama, I think if it is a test, that he'll be suited by it. And Billy Horschel's almost the forgotten man here, isn't he, a little bit? 25-1, I like Horschel. Again, has that one top finish in the US Open. He won 2 FedEx Cup events and took the series as well. And He's a man that can really that button it from the tee. I like Billy Horschel's game a lot, so he was attractive to me at 25-1. But this is a high quality field, isn't it? And I'm looking forward to the week, and it's good to have Tiger Woods back. I know that a lot of people have been critical in his life choices, so shall we say, away from the golf course. But I think the game of golf's better when he's performing in it.
Yeah, I think everyone thinks that. I mean, I think when he first went away a little while, people thought, well, maybe a breath of fresh air, but we want him back.
Because we want to see other people hit the golf ball at times on the television, no doubt. But yeah. I think it's definitely better with him contending.
Yeah. I mean, a few people have said that he got prickly, didn't he? There was a spoof interview done with him, and he kind of took it the wrong way, or he didn't express, you know, his feelings.
It wasn't funny, though, that interview,
it was terrible.
Think.
I thought both people, no one came out of that very well, I think.
No, I thought
it was lame, really.
Yeah,
lame.
I did.
You know, anyone could have thought up those questions and answers. It'd be funnier if Tiger just said it's lame, or really sort of belittled it rather than getting all on his high horse.
He was baited into it, wasn't he? And he took the bait, unfortunately, Tiger.
So people have said, oh, you know, that shows he's too distracted by other things. But when Tiger Woods wants to be, you know, focused, he can focus better than anybody in the game still. So it's just more health and technical things with him, isn't it? So if we're making this guess that he might have cured some of those, then, 14s all day.
Let's recap the picks then. Two events this week covered on the Golf Podcast, and we'll start off with the Ned Bank Golf Challenge. I'll be playing Tim Clark here, a point each way, a generous price, 20-1. Remember, betting a quarter of the odds, 1, 2, 3, and 4 here with Hills.
Yeah, Danny Willett for me, same stake there.
And in the Hero World Challenge, I'll play Tiger Woods, just the one bet here, 1 point each way at 14-1. It's a fifth, 1, 2, 3, 4 for the each way here. And Dave?
Yeah, Tiger, definitely. I'll have a little win bet on Ricky Fowler. Like 2 points win, is that the level
that
we go for? And then a little bit on Keegan Bradley as well. Just a point each way.
25-1 at Keegan Bradley. Should be a fun week, folks. Thank you for listening to the Golf Podcast. You can follow both myself and Dave on Twitter. It's at D Kellner and at Dave Tindall Golf. Obviously, he's got about 6 times the number of followers that I've got. So if you're following him and not me, remedy that now. If you're following me and not him, you're a madman, folks. Thank you for listening to the Golf Podcast this week, and hopefully we'll be able to do it in the future again, Dave. I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Yeah, definitely.
Thank you for listening, folks. Make sure you download this via audioboom.com, or you can check us out on iTunes as well and subscribe to the podcast, and we'll be back in the very near future. Thank you for listening to the Golf Podcast, and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.